Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast, a soft place to land when you begin to question it all during a time of great awakenings. Whether you're seeking inspiration, guidance, or simply a space to bring your own brilliance and depth, I humbly offer my voice and lessons lived from the lens of a mixed Native Hawaiian woman, mother, and longtime partner. Not as one who has all the answers, but as one who has dared to ask the questions about the sacred path of reclamation over our stories and our bodies. I believe it starts with devotion to living, not only from our heads and our to-do lists, but living from our bodies as a source of deep wisdom and connection, which then expands our capacity to love and ultimately be in partnership with the God and Goddess within us all. So I invite you to take a breath, open your heart as we reclaim our mana and magic in our everyday lives. Welcome to the show. Let's begin. I was curious when this episode was going to come about. And the reason I say that is because, first and foremost, this is not an advice podcast. I'm not trying to tell you how to better your life. First and foremost, this is really a self-expression. And if people so happen to see their experience in this, then amazing. And so I am not trying to promote doing anything, you know, like I'm not trying to tell you sleep 10 hours and make sure you only have greens and I don't know, like whatever. That there's so much advice out there, and this show is definitely not that. What it is an expression of the lived experiences that I have and the lessons that I share along the way. And so the things that I share here are only because I have first lived them and have been curious about them. And so, this is a big jump. Realizing I have not talked for a very long time about the journey that I've been on personally, behind the scenes mostly. And I want to preface that because after the fires of August 2023, we were at the mercy of the strangers until we could find any kind of housing that we found on our own. No agencies involved until we could, you know, kind of secure resources. We were really at the mercy of the kindness of strangers. And when you lose your home, there is this feeling of just complete instability, and I couldn't really put words to it at the time, but I know that I had put out this post, and I remember it was like I woke up this one morning and I just felt compelled, like spirit was just moving through me, was just like, write these words. My body just wanted to express them as a release, as just an expression. And so I put this out on the internet, and it was about, please excuse the mess of our home. And it was when me and Marvin went to go check on my car, and my brother-in-law snapped this photo of us just kind of conversing when we were talking on the rubble of our homes, and it got picked up. And you know, I don't even know where it was, but it basically became a viral post. There were multiple influencers and celebrities that attached themselves to this post and shared it out. And we were one of the first that did go back to our properties. So I think people hadn't seen this behind the scenes type of damage. I don't know. I'm just thinking now. And anyways, then my page started to be very open. And, you know, I had just rebranded my podcast. And I don't love the word brand, but I did. I rebranded it. I renamed it. I had just decided to move in another direction. Prior to Good Girl Gone Goddess, it was Beyond the Reef for about 3 years. And it was very, like, the transition, right? Like, life. And I had a podcast coach at the time. And, you know, she was a very staunch Christian woman, very, very conservative. Like, I can't even, it's just funny now. She probably looks at my podcast and is like, oh, I cannot. But oye vale, it is what it is. And yeah, so I think the beginning, if I have to really dig deep in my mind, it was like Beyond the Reef, something about like money, marriage, strategy for island women. Ugh, I'm like, I just laugh, you know, I just laugh because so cute. Yeah, like so cute. And, you know, and the thing is, like, I am grateful for that person that I had to be. And even though I like, oh, it makes me cringe because I'm like marriage and like money and like what? And at the time, I had been a full-time entrepreneur for about 13 years. And you wouldn't tell if you're just kind of discovering this show. You know, I had been a full-time entrepreneur and making six figures and multiple six figures and raising this large family and having this relationship and going. And then all, you know, and then life just shifts, right? Like oh, then you start to get initiated and I share these things in awakening. And it just no, and I was just chasing for so long to get somewhere. And I guess that this preface does tie into what I want to talk about today in doing sex magic in the jungle, because the chasing, the reaching, the searching all eventually brings us right back to our soul's truth. And I am so grateful that I got to experience all these things and I got to connect with so many individuals along the way in the different capacities that I grew. And you do learn so much in the personal development world, and you do get to see like the linear pieces of goals and, you know, habits and all these things, and it's all really beautiful. And so I am grateful for that start. And then along the way, it started to feel less out of alignment. So I remember changing the intro, and I remember changing the subtitles of the show, and I'm like, where am I going with this? And it just was not expressing. It caught on really fast, and at the time, I want to say it was one of the only Wahine podcasts in Hawaii speaking on these things. There were lots and lots of people speaking in the business world and, you know, the relationship space from, you know, all parts of the other world, but it's not really subjects that Hawaiians talk about money. It's not really subjects that, you know, we talk about so much about growing a solid marriage outside of, you know, it wasn't a religious podcast, by the way. So in that, yeah, just the shifting that started to take place and the peeling back. And it was like, now that I have this audience and it's growing and, you know, I have all these questions and people wanting to be a part of a community and whatnot. It that never was the reason why I started Beyond the Reef. It was for my own, again, service. Like, I just felt that I had some things to share and I just wanted a place to give greater value than, you know, I guess even, yeah, social media at the time. Like, I really loved having this long form connection. And then, yeah, through the growth, it was like, now I kind of felt, as I'm looking back now, it felt like I had to perform. Like, every week, get out an episode, like, figure out what you have to say and make sure it falls within these lines. Like, there is a whole structure. If people want to understand the world of podcasting, and there are these keywords that you put to be seen. And I learned so much from having someone who has, you know, does millions of dollars in her podcasting journey. Yeah, learning from her. And yet I resisted a lot because it wasn't that, I mean, of course, everyone wants to make money from the podcast, but that wasn't the purpose. And it still isn't actually, which is, I think, is really cool. And along the way, I have, and I will, you know, share things that I'd like to create and that I would love to invite people to be a part of. But the sole purpose of it is just first and foremost self-expression, and then inviting people into the journey if it so aligns with them. But yeah, so back to this sex magic. So when I had switched over, I think just maybe a month or two prior to the fires, I said, I really want to share my deconstruction journey. Like, I was dropping little tidbits here and there on the podcast about, you know, my journey and about finding goddess yoga and then coming into somatics and embodiment and then finding a program around holistic sex, love, and relationships. And I do share about how, you know, being a religious girl really, it really started to show me these good girl tendencies and these people-pleasing tendencies and how it really kept me from authentic voice and authentic living. And so I was like, this is what you want to talk about. So we're not going to talk about how to build a business anymore. We're not going to talk about how to kill it. And like, that wasn't even where I was. And when life just, you know, and the thing is, maybe wherever people find me in my journey, I think, oh, it's just recovering about the fire. I'm like, no, it's been about 5 years of becoming an alchemist, of having to go through, you know, loss of identity, choosing to leave childhood religion, which is really at the base of what this show is going to be and how that affects so much in your life. You know, separating from family. I haven't gotten there yet in sharing the depths of that story because it's not just my story alone. But if you never see me with my parents, there's a really good reason for that. And that is really difficult to talk about in the Polynesian world because Ohana, Ainga, Whānau, like family is the central part of the society in all cultures, but especially in Polynesia. And even when there is harm or there's abuse or there's deep betrayal, we are in a society kind of just expected to place the culture over the experience of the individual. And I have not, and chosen not to, and for the safety of my family and my well-being and my children's safety, that's kind of where we're at. And I haven't shared so much on that, so there's been a lot of things working in the background. And the thing I like to share is, like, not everything should be shared in real time. And I hope that in your journey, even if you don't share it online or you're not sharing it on a newsletter, whatever, like, that you're keeping really good journal, because it is so amazing to go back. Obviously, I only have the one journal that I found from the fire, which is, oh, so much in that. And then the journals that I've been keeping since. But I look back just even in these experiences, even a month prior, a year prior, and I just sit back and be like, wow, you know, these tiny little steps that you take forward every day are not nothing. Like, these little micro moments as you maneuver and as you consciously choose to evolve are not nothing, you know, and they add up. And yeah, all right, so going to the jungle, you know, it really stemmed from this desire to serve. And that is very entangled with this idea of church service. So I really think in my cellular make, it was like, do for the people. Your life is a sum of, like, how many people you bless. And yes, and also your life is your own. So everyone can figure that out for themselves, however they want to land and sit with that one. For me, as I have began my facilitating journey, and not to toot my own horn, and it's not about me, but I started to realize, like, I do hold really powerful containers. And the women that come into my spaces are often really brilliant leaders, like, doing big things in the community. And in my own capacity to hold my own things, I have grown capacity to hold for others. And although people are like, oh, hold space, what exactly does that mean, right? But in the facilitation skills that I have acquired, and I also feel some of them have been born with, and I've come into this space, it's taken me a journey. And I don't know if I'm being redundant, but here it is. it went from, you know, a playful, fun, sensual class to really seeing, you know, the effects that it had on individuals coming in and like, man, I've been to therapy for all these years. I've never felt this before. Like, now I feel free of it or whatever it is. And some people would cry, like, I've never felt this expressed or this liberated. And then I would never see them again. And it wasn't that I wanted to get better at what I was doing so that you would come to my class. I wanted to understand if this thing was helping an individual to have the greatest experience, what then happens when I don't see you again? You know, there's a lot of things. And so I just got curious. That's all it was. And the curious took me into this rabbit hole. The curiosity then took me into understanding what it is to hold a trauma-informed space and understanding how trauma then affects the body. And I think, like, we go on Instagram and there's always these little, again, cute reels about trauma in the hips and, you know, trauma in your response and trauma. But I don't know if people are really, like, going to the depths. I mean, this became an obsession, reading all day, taking courses, investing thousands and thousands of dollars into understanding just for the pure curiosity of how do I serve better? It wasn't that I was going to create this master coaching or whatever. I just wanted to know how to be. And along the way, obviously, you are always going to be your first student, right? So the beautiful thing about desiring to learn more for others initially then pointed me in the direction of, oh, do you hold this for yourself? Do you understand your own trauma? Do you understand your own experiences and how to really alchemize these things and transmute these things? And a lot of it was like, no. To a certain degree, I think I understood it in my mind, but not to the level in my body that maybe I was thinking that I did. So understanding trauma-informed facilitation then took me into sensuality and sensual somatics. So there's one thing to dance sexy and to like move, right? But then to understand the erogenous zones and understanding what rituals do and all these different things. And there was a woman that came in, was like the woman I learned from, she's actually Sensual Somatic on Instagram, and I highly recommend her work. She is one of those that is truly in integrity with what she does. And even if you go on her Insta and you see her just sometimes dancing in her undies and, you know, like a really skimpy dress, know that this woman is so smart. Like, the rigorous work that we had to do and the study and the research that went into the psoads and understanding how to hydrate them and understanding like our bones and all these things, right? Like, anatomy became an obsession for me, as well as neurobiology. And you think that these cute somatic experiencers are just like woo on Instagram, and I will tell you from the opposite end, in learning from multiple teachers, there are the woo ones for sure. But the ones that I have been really blessed to invest with and to spend time with, and I'm talking like months on at a time, I'm blown away by the depths of knowledge that they hold. So a deep kuno in that space. And then along the way, we would have these, guest teachers. And there was a guest teacher, I want to say from California, I can't even remember, but the embodiment of this woman really struck me. And I went and I looked her up, but now I can't remember who she was. It was just in the time, but it kind of skipped past through because she shares about going to Costa Rica. I was like, interesting. So this woman shares about Costa Rica, and I just click in, and this is like a couple of years now, because it's going on 3 years. And I see this retreat, and for the purposes of, I have signed a non-disclosure agreement, so I'm not able to share who and where and what and all of that. So I'm going to speak very vague now. I signed up for the program because of this retreat. And I don't think retreats were as huge at the time. I mean, maybe I just really wasn't aware of it because I was still relatively new in that space. As like now, everyone retreat, and it's beautiful. And I have run retreats, and I plan to open them again, and they are amazing. And so I ended up signing up for this program, and it is around holistic sex, love, and relationships, and from a tantric approach. And I knew nothing of tantra, and I knew nothing of what it means to do holistic sex, love, and relationships. I didn't go for the coaching. I went because something pulled me to the space. But yeah, I was like, 2023 came, and I was so sure, like, you're gonna finish this, you know, like you're gonna, was no, I think I'm getting the dates wrong. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I think I started, you know, I started this in 2023. Kalamai. I started in 2023, and I was just about to be finishing up all of the requirements and whatnot. Now I'm invested. Now I'm like, oh, I've learned so much. And yes, I do want to share this. And some of the things I did start to incorporate as far as the movement practices and the classes that I was teaching at the time. And I was like, oh, I know this is for women like me who didn't know the proper names of the body parts. And this is after I've had 5 children and how to become what I, you know, have come to learn and name as like being a pleasure activist, and how pleasure is so grounding, and it's the thing we save for last, and yet it is what we are here to experience in life. It is the greatest birthright, and it is the justice for so many of us who have come from backgrounds and cultures that have, you know, and there is the BIPOC experience, and then there is also just being a woman experience, and then there's being a gender fluid, and, you know, there's so many layers. And it was done and presented to me, and I felt like I was growing so rapidly in a certain way, and then the fires happened, and of course, like, I lost my computer, I lost all my work. I was like, great. That was, I don't even know how many hours, 400 hours maybe at this point. And it was kind of devastating. And I remember reaching out to the program, and I was like, hey, can I start again? And they're like, you know what, you don't, we actually need that proof, you know, that you did the classes. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's that, you know. And then I just kind of let it go. And at the time, it didn't even matter to me. I was just such in a deep depressive state and trying to find a place to live and, you know, all those things. And then come January, February, and I had this feeling of like, finish what you started. I just wanted to tie up this loose ends because there wasn't a lot in my life at the time that I could really like physically control. I was very at the mercy of, again, the kindness of strangers and people, because we weren't really getting a lot of help. And it was really hard for me to be in the community anyways, but I decided to go ahead and finish this program as I was simultaneously being called and invited to train formally. And I won't share about that again. All these things, you just have to keep listening, because there is a certain thing in Hawaii called kapu, and I am under one, and I cannot share about it until later. So leave it at that. So where was I? I decided to finish the program, and it was so interesting to me because it was like going back in, not for anybody else but myself. It was like coming back into these practices of love and about touch and about connecting with my partner again after we had all gone through this immense trauma, and getting these parts of my brain back online. And all these years, right? So interesting, like how life takes you exactly where you need to be, but also prepares you for these moments. And I thank the Great Mother up until like, I'm forever, but for sure the years prior to this experience, because I had been filling up a bucket. And even if I emptied everything out, I felt like I had these tools, I had this knowledge, I had these things at my disposal that I know most people wouldn't have, didn't have, couldn't have, because it's like, ugh, sex, like, what does that have to do with healing? Or like, ugh, love, like, so fluffy, or whatever. Relationships, like, most relationships that I've seen, and especially post-fire, it's more just like a roommate situation. And this is not to place judgment, this is just in real witnessing, is that the passion gets lost because, and for good reason, is because you're just trying to survive, right? Like, there's not a lot of room for those things. But because I had really learned and dived into the depths of these tools, and on a spiritual level, and I'll kind of segue, because wow, this is long. I thought this was going to be short, but on a spiritual level, I was learning these things from ancient wisdom and the lineage teachings, so far as I knew at the time, I will say that, and expanding into, you know, more meditative pieces. Anyways, so I end up, the height of the experience when you go through this kind of program is you go on a retreat. And I had said the year prior, I gotta get on this retreat, right? It's the whole thing that brought me to this program in the first place. And so I end up talking to my spouse, and he's like, you gotta go, like, you promised yourself this would be your graduation present for all the hard work that you're putting in. I mean, this is like hours and hours of studying and coaching and, like, you know, doing the practices and living the things and investing, right? I was like, okay, well, it's a lot of money, like, it's so far. I was just so attached, like, we had all kind of become codependent on one another, and my partner had to reflect that to me. Like, I didn't want to leave his side, calling him 10 times a day, you know. It was like terrifying to be away from him, but, you know, and understandable. It's, being codependent is not like it's a bad thing, it's just sometimes it becomes a natural thing after a traumatic experience, and my husband wasn't there after the fire, so it made sense why I was like, oh, Marvin, and he's like, hey babe, like, I really think this is going to be good for you, because coming from a really independent place to then becoming more, you know, dependent and putting everything down, and just, he was the only person I wanted to, like, be with me, hold me, and all that kind of stuff all day long. I went to go on the trip, and I cried. I remember the night before, I was like, you know what, I just don't know if I want to go, like, just forget it already, like, it's not important, it's so silly, like, who even wants this, who even needs this, like, it's just dumb, like, it's not even, and I was just trying to pass it off as though I hadn't been really called into it. So he just talks me down, he's like, you're going, it's gonna be good, you're like, it's gonna be challenging, but you gotta just make this happen. I was like, okay. So one of the things that I had found after the fires was my passports and a journal, one journal. And now, mind you, I had a closet full of journals, and journaling is just, like, to me, if I could ever say that I had a magic wand, it's journaling. Like, I have made and written so much into my life by allowing myself quiet, peace, prayer, and then journaling. So along this way with journaling, I found a journal, and I hadn't wanted to open it, but I opened it up right before the retreat, and the words that I wrote in that journal, I just wept, and I only allowed myself to read half, but I basically wrote about myself going on this retreat, and what I was going to be stepping into, and what I was going to claim for myself. And I felt so far away from myself. But I look at this, my home burned metal. It burned through the buildings, it burned through my Peloton, it burned through the gun safe, it burned through you know, every metal piece ever, and, you know, whatever they say on the news is like 1,000 degrees or whatnot. But how is it that this paper journal, which was recycled paper too from the heat, that it was completely intact, as well as my passports? And that became like the sign for me of, oh, the goddess, the mother, God is save this. And it became like the words over my life. Like, it was like I was prophesying to myself for this moment. And these divine words, because they are, right? Like, it was a miracle. It is a miracle that these things survived, and that the words that were written, and that the passports, because travel is like my ultimate love language, as we're getting ready to go on a trip to Samoa tonight, that these things were saved and spared. And it's like, whew, yeah. So I go on this trip, and still along the way, I'm like feeling very like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. But I had this intention, and intentions are really important to have, right? Because, like, why? What's the why? Why are you doing this? It just grounds you in presence. And before I board the bus, my intention, let me back it up. Before I get on the plane, I have to catch a plane and do an overnighter in Costa Rica, and then get on a bus and drive like 3 hours into the jungle. But the night before, I was like, I just feel like I've lost my fire. I've just lost my fire. I am so shaky in who I am as a person. I can't really show up in life the way that I would want to, the way that I used to. And just feeling a lot of, even if I had the tools, like a imposter. Just to exist. I mean, it was such a wild experience. And at the time, you know, I had been chanting, and in glimpses, I'm like, yeah, you're doing the things, but it wasn't in the depth that I was really desiring. And I had talked to a girlfriend that night, and she was going through her firefighter training. I was like, man, here I am, like, bitching and moaning about getting on a bus, and you're climbing like 30 feet ladders. Like, okay, knock it off, you know? Just perspective. And she's also a mom of five, and like my best friend, she lives in the States. And so I get on the bus the next morning, and I sit next to this woman, and she's like, hi, my name is Feather. And I was like, what's up, Feather? And I was like, so what do you do? And she's like, I am a fire dancer. And I was like, this is wild, you know, fire woman and fire dancer. And she's like, I do fire grieving ceremonies. And I was like, wow, you know. And the experience is like, yes, I am in a spiritual journey, and I would love to share these spiritual experiences, but there is a wide variety of like spiritual people out there. And I was just about to learn, there's 80 women on this retreat from around the world, and some of them I feel, and I don't mean to like pass judgment, I'm just sharing this as I'm stretching, just a wide variety of people. And some of them I felt like came for really sincere, grounded reasons, and some of them really came to like perform and maybe feel like, I don't know, they have all the money and all the time in the world to just keep healing and healing and healing and healing and go to this ayahuasca and this retreat and this and this and this. And I was like, this is my one, this is my one big one. Like, this is what I get my whole life, you know, and probably ain't coming back again. This is a lot. But anyways, everyone has their own experience. So it was about a week. And I flew home a day early to be with my best friend whose dad had passed away. And I was like, I don't need to finish. Like, this is more important to me than that. But one of the last nights, we go to practice sex magic. And if you're like, what? You're having sex? No. There's so much that leads into this. This is why it just cracks me up that it, like, this dropped in. Sex magic is really about harnessing your own sexual energy to manifest the things that are calling to you. So when we say the word magic, you're like, oh, witches, yeah. Women, like women being able to be reminded of their inherent power to call in these things, and you can have a play on it. And I think there is a, you know, the leader was wearing a witch hat just to kind of make fun of the, not fun, but to make light of the atrocities that women across the world have and still endure when they are so powerful. And so you're invited to basically consensually kind of just in your own space, like bring self touch and self pleasuring into the practice. I cannot speak so much again, but yeah, the thing that happens is I think when we remove our ego and we approach anything in life with just humility, we will be brought back to this original essence and truth. And that is one of the deepest things that I've learned in that container, is that love and sensuality and sexual expression and all of these things are bring us back to the bones of our original essence, and they are not separate from us. We don't have to earn them. It is the thing that exists and connects us to the divine at all times. Just an anatomy lesson, I don't know if anyone's read the book Pussy by Mama Gina, but even in the anatomy classes and, you know, the neurobiology that we had to study for a while, and I'm still studying it, like the prefrontal cortex and the limbic brain and all these things. And in a woman's body and the clitoris, there's 8,000 nerve endings, if you have not heard this before. Men and have with the penis has 4,000. And it's so interesting that for most partners, it's always, not always, but very often, the women are like, they don't feel the pleasure and they don't feel the connection. And there's lots of layers in order to get to that. A lot of people, when they think about sex, they want to have better orgasms, or I just want to like have better sex with my partner. And what this holistic sex, love, and relationship experience has been for me is about going back to the simplicity of belonging, of safety, of understanding, of bravery, of curiosity. I mean, this is what the program basically has stripped me down for myself. And that's the way that I approached it. And yes, heightened orgasms. And yes, deeper pleasure and unashamed. And also existing in the relative reality that I live, which is I'm a mom. Literally driving a Toyota like everybody else. I shop at the same stores. I'm doing the same volleyball games. And behind the scenes, this part is so special. And I will forever choose to be a wisdom keeper. The women that just rocked my world the most. And I say that not like rocked my world in that way, but that I was just in awe of are the women that are in their like 60s and 70s coming out to the jungle to do these practices. And they're not like lineage kind, like super new age, I have to say that. And although you're like, I don't really love the term new age, I definitely have started to see coming out of staunch religion that there are a lot of like hodgepodge of practices that become like new age. But you know, it is what it is. Like, there doesn't have to be this huge judgment on it, because it's all love, and when it's done in safety, it's so beautiful. So anyways, it was the older women that completely shifted things for me, and they inspired me the most to come here and to prioritize their pleasure and their self-expression in this way, and to recapture these beautiful innate pieces of themselves. And I want to remind a lot of us who are listening who might feel a certain way, because this just also dropped in, this was the first pieces that were stripped from the indigenous women. Cover the body, you know, take away the hula for us, right? Too sexual, like take away these things. I mean, taking away sexual expression is like the fastest way to disempower and make women robotic. Don't move your hips. And then not moving your hips, or like not touching, or not being in connection with this like essential core piece, will cut off the energetic flow of a person. And then now we're living from like our heads. And there's so much in this. And I will get there slowly. But the reason, again, hope all these puzzle pieces are coming together, because I am just, again, not making notes, just talking. These women just made me cry, and just to witness them and their beauty and their older age, it was like, nope. And then our facilitator was like, yep, because remember, like, it was the grandmothers who were the wisdom keepers, and they were the ones that taught the children. And even this book that I had picked up this past year, and it talks about that in Hawaiian society too, and I don't have it on the top of my tongue, but it does share that one of the jobs, as well as, you know, a midwife, was one who prepared the women for lovemaking. It was like a profession within the lahui, and within the community. And it's like, yeah, that existed everywhere. But then we just go, oh, it's not important. Like, I think we got to relearn. Anyways, I don't want this to be hours and hours. It is vai-vai for me to talk about these things. But just want to talk about sex magic experience. So the thing is, if you go in with a fake experience, and this is, goes over for everything, you're going to have a fake outcome. And you cannot fake in the universe, right? Like, you can pretend and you can perform, but if you're coming in with a true heart, a true desire, you will subtly be open to universal intelligence and feel into that. And that's what the practice for me was about, was like being an open and empty vessel to experience the love of the universe. And that is a tantric practice. It's like, could I let life, like, love me? Could I let life pulsate through me? Could I experience this cosmic consciousness? And so when I, you know, make love to my partner, to myself, I bring in this heightened awareness. And there are different levels of consciousness within lovemaking, I have found. Not just doing it, but we love to just go, oh, you're gonna do it. It's like, what are we talking about? Anyways, if we don't erase our humanity, you know, we can go up into the ethers, but it is then coming back into our humanity. And again, such a varying degree of expressions, I feel like, within this space. And for those that were performing, I was like, and when I say performing, I don't mean the act itself. Just trying to force this spiritual evolution, and instead of just kind of surrendering to the moment. And what was the most beautiful thing for me, and where I'm getting in all of this, is when we take the ego off of experiences like this, and not everyone is going to go into the jungle and like sit in these practices and like try to expand in that way. I mean, I know it seems really woo, because it was and it is, but it was also so grounding, because it really is, who is holding the experience? What is the intention? And if you come from a grounded, loving place, that's probably the experience that you have. And there is the fun and like the ass shaking and like, go get it. And you know, you're having a blast at the same time, right? Like swimming naked in the pool and like, woo, living your life. And even my kids are like, oh, mom, what are you doing? And I'm like, stretching, you know, whatever. And I was stretching in a lot of ways. But yeah, my roommate, she was this really soft-spoken girl. And it was just so interesting to see all these different cultures, because typically, and this is not new, right? Like, when you think of retreats, you're thinking like all middle-aged, white, wealthy women go to these things. But on this experience, there was that. And I made relationships from South Africa, from, you know, Pakistan lineage. We had women come from Ecuador and Ireland and all over Europe. I was the only South Pacific, but I heard there was a Fijian Indian woman prior, women that were doctors, you know, that had nothing to do mothers, you know, there's such a wide variety. There was like a Korean woman that I just adored. She's from Australia, and she, I think, was like an accountant, you know, coming in to reclaim these pieces. And I just love the whole experience. Anyways, but yeah, going into the sex magic, it was like this. Love your family. Hug your kids. Enjoy your spouse. And that was my big vision. And it wasn't a forced thing, but I was like, wow. It really always just comes back to the simplicity, and that is my truth, and that is my path. And I did kind of laugh because I was like, oh, so it came this far just to like basically have the same experience that I already have. And that was like the cosmic joke of it all. But that wasn't it, right? Like, it was like, you got to, there was so much freeing things that I will just keep for myself. But when we tap into our gifts and our superpowers and our desires, this is the words that I had wrote in my super messy journal. A true desire, like a really true desire, is one that pulsates from the universe. It's one that is co-created with the universal intelligence. It already exists, and that is why it comes to you. Like, the form is already planted in your heart and in your desire, and that is something that really took me back to, that we don't erase our humanity. Like, we find our humanity in living our human destiny. I don't know what exactly, but like, what is more spiritual than that? You know, what is more spiritual? Is it more spiritual to live in a cave and to go on a retreat and all that? Or is it, could I just be in devotion to life? And that's what came out of that practice. Like, life as the greatest lover, life as the greatest teacher, and that it's all initiations deeper and deeper into this beautiful experience. And so rather than try to crack the code into our human reality, it was like, be with what is in front of you. And that is where I was so grateful, because there is no hiding from ourselves. And if you can understand or think of a time when you were really in your deep sexual experience, not sensual, like deep in a sexual experience, there was nothing that you could have hid from yourself if you were being in your truth, you know? Not just the act of sex, but the part where all else surrenders, where you just kind of lose this cortical control and you are just in full presence of awe and bliss. And that for me is what sexual energy and expression and healing feels like. And so manifesting those desires from that place where there is no, will they like it? Will I be understood? Do I have to, you know, keep hustling forever and ever and ever? It's just like, just bliss. Like, life is good and it's easy and it wants to provide and care and hold us. And that is what I got from that. And so I wrote this in the journal, and it's like, in our peak pleasure, we re-imprint these different senses, and this does become our reality. We think, oh, you know, you got to come back down to reality, but that is reality. It's a part of my reality, and it's accessible at all times for every person. And yes, at a certain time, I would love to share the practices, and I don't think everybody's going to go out to the jungle, but it doesn't look like in the form of like coaching in the way that I thought. Again, just speaking out loud, but I wrote that last night was the most grounding ritual. Interesting. While wild and ecstatic bliss was the expectation, I felt that it just normalized my lived experiences. And so, thank you for letting me share about that. Going back to the beginning, as I was sharing how it didn't feel safe for me post-fire, there was a lot of fragmented pieces. I do want to share about what I have learned along this last couple of years, because I didn't really feel safe. Persecution is real. Like, I don't spend my energy in my social media accounts being like, you know, this hater said this, and let me do a clap back about that. It's like, whoa, I really have no time. And it just leaks energy that is just not important for me. I've maybe done one little like shade, but when I sit back and when I reground into my body, it's like, no, thank you. I don't want to give people the time. But at the time of post-fire, I felt like I had to hide what I was doing because I was afraid to be misunderstood. I was afraid to be more ostracized. I was in terror of, honestly, like the Christian world who really comes for you. And if you haven't noticed that within the collective, right? Like, it's easy for people to be like, oh, you love God, I'm so happy for you. Oh, you love goddess? What are you, some kind of weirdo hippie, like pagan worshiper? I don't know. It is such an interesting experience. And so it's a season of catch and release now. I couldn't hold it because I was holding my family, and I still do. I was holding them and shielding them from the outside world that we became the news at the time. And now that life has settled and the elections have, you know, regained other people's focus and they've captured the attention in other parts of the world, now I feel like I can kind of slowly find my footing and share the things that I really want to share and integrate all these pieces so that it does make sense. There's a lot about embodiment, there's a lot about sensuality and healing in a different kind of way. And then the part two of this was I paused the program. I remember I said, okay, you're going to finish. And when I came back from Costa Rica, I was like, no, I got to pause. And again, I didn't know why. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. But there's like, I just know that I know. And I've cultivated enough experiences and magic in my life to know this feeling. In the same way I was pulled into it, I was also told to stop. And there were things that were out of alignment for me personally that needed to be understood. And now that I am practicing in the Himalayan traditions alongside my own hula practitioner, when it is time, I will finish. So there is still much that I have learned. There's still much that I have continued to research. You will never not find me reading 5 books at a time. Because this is delicious. And as I'm looking at the library that I have acquired since I lost everything, I am, there's a lot of themes in this. And that's the things I wanted to share here. I think that in my closing remarks or whatever, not a speech, but in this closing moments, in all that I've shared, that what is calling you belongs to you, and that life is truly so beautiful as we stay curious, and it's the greatest teacher, you know. And we can go and we can continue to reach and I gotta go there and I gotta do this and same, like, I love to explore, and then it'll always come and turn you back to yourself. It'll always come back to the divine within, that this reaching doesn't mean you're lost, you're strengthening. It's just the law of nature for us to evolve. And it's all perfect on the path, even the shitty stuff, even the shitty people. It's all bringing us back to this original essence. And it's that love that created us. It's that love that lives within us. It is a love that wants to be expressed through us. So thank you for spending time with me. And I hope you got some good laughs. I know I did. I can just see on the other end of this, like, what the f- is she? Yeah. I honestly, it is what it is, right? Like, expression, just must exist for the sake of it. Where it goes and how it lands is only going to ever be at the capacity to which the listener hears and can hear. So however it lands, know that this is done in love, and I will see you and talk to you on the next episode. Mahalo for joining me today on this episode of Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast. If you have enjoyed our conversation and are looking forward to more conversations, I invite you to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. I love to hear from you when you share your takeaways and tag me on social media. And I am so thrilled to share that I have launched a new Substack newsletter where you'll find a beautiful blend of intimate writings, deeper dives, connections, and movement classes all wrapped into one. Thank you so much again for joining me, and I will see you on the next episode.